couple of weeks is as we look at the world around us, our circumstances can seem to change rather quickly. Our job status can change at a moment's notice. Our financial standing, we've been watching the stock market and we've seen it fall and come back up a little bit, but we see the rapid changes. Relationship statuses can change quickly. Political circumstances change. We understand, too, that our health can change with very little or no warning. And we could go on and on with the list of things that change quickly. We look at the world around us, we look at our own lives, and we know that's true. Circumstances change and can do so very quickly. Over the past 2 weeks, things have been changing on a daily basis, sometimes an hourly basis, or even minute to minute. So as we face these changes, as we face these challenges in our lives, as our faith is tested, where can we go for courage? How can we face the uncertain future with confidence? This morning, I want us to consider together a man who lived many, many years ago. We read about him in the pages of our Old Testament. He's a man who faced a challenging situation, but he did so with some amazing courage. I'm talking about Joshua. Joshua, as he took upon himself the responsibility of leading the Israelites after the death of Moses. Our text this morning is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It was read for us earlier, and I hope that you'll take your Bible and turn there with me as we study together this morning. Now, I know sometimes it's easy for us to talk about courage, especially when things are going well for us, especially when things are going just our way. But maybe we're tempted to back off a little bit. Our talk about courage slows down a little bit, gets a little bit softer when we're faced with a real challenge. Think about that small dog behind the big picture window. And the big dog outside comes walking by. What does that small dog do? It barks up a storm safely behind that window. But let that dog out in the open. It may not be so confident when it's face to face with the challenge. And maybe in the same way, it's easy for us to talk about courage in the church building or talk about courage in the comfort of our own homes. But the challenge comes when it's time to live that out. The challenge comes when we're alone with our thoughts. The challenge comes when we're faced with constant changes, when things seem to be hopeless, when doubt begins to creep in to our minds. This morning, we want to think about Joshua as an example for us, an example of someone who was challenged and had courage to step up to that challenge during a very difficult time in the history of God's people. And as we study, I want us to focus our attention on the words of encouragement that God had for Joshua right from the beginning of his mission. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, a new generation of Israelites had come onto the scene, and God chose Joshua to take over for Moses. And as we think this morning about Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9, as we think about facing our own circumstances with the kind of courage that Joshua had, I want us to consider three basic ideas that allowed Joshua to be the kind of leader that God wanted him to be. And the first basic concept we find in our text is that Joshua was commanded to meditate on the Word of God. The emphasis on that idea comes in verse 8. As God said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." Now, we wonder, perhaps, what book is God referring to here? Well, he was referring to that inspired book that Moses had just finished writing. We know that during the time that Moses led the Israelites, he wrote down what happened. With God's input, by inspiration, Moses wrote down a summary of God's dealings with humankind up until that point of history, from creation all the way down to his own death. And the book of the law has 5 volumes, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the effort that Moses went into is described just a few chapters earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 31, where Moses is described as finishing the book. He finished the book, he gave it to the priests, and he ordered them to place it beside the Ark of the Covenant. But we find here in God speaking to Joshua, we find that it's not enough to have the book of the law in a place of honor in the tabernacle. It wasn't enough to just have the book visible in a prominent position. But we find that Joshua was commanded by God to meditate on God's law. Of course, when we hear that word meditate these days, we tend to think of meditation in terms of the Eastern religions. The concept of clearing our minds so that we think of nothing. But in Joshua chapter 1, when God tells Joshua to meditate on the law, he uses a word that refers to muttering or speaking something. And so it's not the idea of clearing our minds and thinking about absolutely nothing, but it's to fill our minds with the Word of God. The Word of God is to be constantly spoken under our breath. We're to repeat it in our minds, speaking it to ourselves over and over again, thinking it over, letting it sink in. We know from experience that our thoughts tend to have a way of changing our behavior. And so God tells Joshua that he is to meditate on the law. He's to think about the law, God's law, constantly. Have you ever had a song stuck in your head? I'm not going to mention any songs because I don't want you to blame me for going all day with a song stuck in your head. But maybe we just hear someone mention the song, or we hear the song on the radio, but the song gets in our mind and we just can't seem to get it out. No matter what we're doing, that song just is playing over and over in our minds. That's what God is talking about here. Except it's not a song, it's His Word. The Word of God is to be like that. It's to be in our minds, on repeat, playing over and over. We're to meditate on the Word of God day and night. We're to mutter it under our breath over and over again, continually. It's not enough to just have it sitting on our table. It's not enough to just read it, but we're to think about it. Constantly. Maybe we could think about our Bible a little bit like sitting down for a nice meal. When someone has gone to the trouble, gone to the effort of making a huge feast for us, do we just sit down and shovel it in as fast as we can, not even using silverware or a napkin? Well, maybe some of you, sometimes you do. But usually with something like that, we want to slow down. Take our time and appreciate what's been done for us. Now, there are times when we might need to eat quickly. Eating something quickly is better than eating nothing slowly. But there are other times when we need to take our time and appreciate that meal, to truly taste it as we should. We can say the same thing when it comes to the Word of God. Yes, we can sit down and we can quickly read a little bit here and there, but there are other times when we need to slow down. We need to let it sink in. Sometimes we just need to enjoy it. Slow down and focus in on it. And I would guess that most of us, we have a little bit of extra time right now that we can do that very thing. I've talked about this idea before here, I think, but think about the head bobbing that pigeons and other birds like chickens do as they walk. Their heads go back and forth. I read an article by a veterinarian in Ireland, and he summarized some of the research that's been done over the past 30 years or so on this very idea. You probably didn't know that they'd been researching things like this. But scientists, they're not positive. But the leading theory for the bobbing that many birds do as they walk is they move their heads forward very quickly to focus, and then their body catches up. They shoot their head forward to focus. They very briefly look around to see if there are any predators, and then their bodies catch up. To us, it looks like the head's going back and forth, but it isn't. The head is shooting forward, and then the body is catching up behind it. Now, to test this theory, they tried putting a pigeon on a treadmill. Now, wouldn't have that been an interesting research project in college? But on the treadmill, the environment around the pigeon wasn't moving, and the head bobbing stopped. The pigeon kept walking, but its head stopped moving. Since the room wasn't moving, there was no reason for the head to shoot forward. But under normal circumstances, pigeons and chickens and other birds will throw their heads forward to focus on where they're going, and then their bodies will catch up. Focus, catch up. Focus, catch up. And on they go. Now, I imagine by this point you're wondering what this has to do with Joshua chapter 1. And the lesson is this. Like those birds, we as God's people, we need to focus before we do anything. We as God's people, we need to focus on where we're going before we make a move. As Christians, we're to focus on God's Word and then allow our lives to catch up. Focus on God's Word and catch up. Focus on God's Word and catch up. We're to spend some time meditating on the Word of God. And so maybe we ought to give ourselves a little test. What do we spend most of our time thinking about last week? What was it that dominated our thoughts? Maybe we thought a lot about work or school or the things that we're missing out on. And we need to think about those things. Those things are part of our life. They're an important part of our life. Maybe we thought a lot about the virus. And that's understandable. There's been no way that we could avoid it. But hopefully, we've also spent some time meditating on the Word of God. Amen. Let's throw our heads out there and focus on the Word of God. And then allow our lives to catch up. So first of all, in order for us to have the kind of courage that Joshua had, we have to make a decision. We have to decide to meditate on the Word of God. As God told Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night." There's a second basic concept in this paragraph of Scripture in Joshua chapter 1. And the idea is that we're not just to meditate on God's Word, but we must also do it. Notice what God goes on to say in verse 8 concerning the law. He says, "You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it." And so the reason for meditating on the book of the law is so that we'll be able to do it. This is an idea carried over from verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1, where God says, "Only be very strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." In other words, meditating on the Word of God, it's not just a mental exercise, but it has purpose. We let it sink in as we study so that we may be careful to do all that's written in it. See, we're not just studying so that we can get a good grade on some kind of test, but we study to change the way that we live. We study to the point where it actually means something to us. In the New Testament, we remember the parable of the wise and foolish builders. In Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against the house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. See, both of those men in that parable heard the word of God, but only one of them did something about it. James tells us in James chapter 1 that if we look at the word of God, if we look into the word of God, but don't change the way we're living, we're like a man who looks in a mirror and forgets the image that he sees before doing anything about it. Reading the Bible and not obeying, it's like a man who wakes up in the morning, looks in the mirror, notices something looks really bad about himself, then goes on to work anyway without making any adjustments. But there's a solution. The solution is to look carefully at God's word, just as we would look in the mirror in the morning. And then we're to do something about whatever it is that we learn. Joshua was told to meditate on God's word, but he was also told to do it. Put the word of God into practice. And one other thing while we're on this point. We notice a special warning in the middle of verse 7 concerning the law. God warned Joshua, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Now, there are two ways that we can deviate from the word of God today. On one hand, we can loosen God's law. We can ignore certain parts of it. We can dismiss the things that we don't want to deal with, the things that we don't want to do. But then on the other hand, we can go to the other extreme. We can tighten God's law. We can be stricter than what God requires. We can bind where God has not bound. And that's a great danger also. And so Joshua is warned. Don't turn aside from it to the right or to the left. Don't relax God's law, but don't add to it either. Both extremes are dangerous. We're to meditate on the Word of God and then do it. And there's a third basic concept that I want us to consider from our text, and that is after we meditate on God's Word, after we put it into practice, we're encouraged to face this life with confidence. Three times in this short paragraph of Scripture, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. Literally, God was telling Joshua to be firm, to be hard, to be solid, to be strong, to be stout, bold, and alert. Be strong and courageous. It's been said that courage isn't the absence of fear, but instead it's the presence of faith. And I believe that's a true statement. Courage is facing life's struggles with confidence in spite of any fear that we might have. And the one thing that really strikes me about this comes in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 1. God says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Going back up to verse 5, God puts it another way. He says, "Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you." See, notice the reason that Joshua is to be strong and courageous is because God was with him. And notice that God didn't promise Joshua a trouble-free life. God didn't promise that Joshua would live to a ripe old age and then retire to his own private island. God didn't promise that Joshua would never get frustrated. But God said, no matter what happens, here's my promise, I will be with you. Maybe that sounds familiar to us. Maybe that sounds like something we've heard from our New Testaments. I think about the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus spoke to his disciples for the last time on this earth. And he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Jesus was giving his apostles an incredibly difficult mission. He never told them it would be easy. He didn't say the apostles would even survive the assignment. But he said, "I am with you always." In a similar way, we might face some situations in our own lives that just wear us out, that wear us down. We may face some health issues, some relationship issues, some job issues, some family issues. We're overwhelmed with media coverage of COVID-19. And I would guess that the virus and the impact that it's had on our lives is the biggest challenge, the biggest concern that most of us are dealing with on a daily basis right now. But we have situations that break us down. We have situations that wear us out. And God hasn't promised to keep us from those things. But he's promised that he will be with us through the struggles. God was with Joshua. Over the coming years, Joshua would lead battles. He would need to struggle. He would need to fight. Joshua would have to work hard. But in the end, Joshua succeeded in the mission that God had given to him. Put your finger there in Joshua chapter 1 and flip to the very end of the book, in Joshua chapter 24. Right at the end of this book, roughly 25 years have gone by. After roughly 30 major battles, the land has been conquered. We come to Joshua 24, verse 31. This is a summary of Joshua's life. Joshua 24, 31 says, "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel." You see, facing battles, facing struggles, facing discouragement, that's not a sign that God has let us down. But the fact that we make our way through those things is a sign that God is with us. God is with us. He hasn't let us down. He will not let us down. God is with us right now in our present distress. In a similar way, God didn't promise Joshua a life of ease, but he told him, "Be strong, be courageous." And then he promised that he would be with him all the way. Joshua was to face his challenge with confidence. And we have the same promise. The same promise God made to Moses, the same promise that God made to Joshua. God will be with us every step of the way. Whatever the situation, whatever the challenge, like Joshua, we can face it with confidence because God is on our side. Be strong and courageous. Sometime this week, I'd encourage all of us to read through the book of Joshua and read about the great leader that he became. There's something unusual about Joshua in Scripture. That is, he's one of only a very few men in the Bible who are never criticized. As far as I can tell, we have no record of anything bad that Joshua ever did. Now, I'm not saying he never sinned. Certainly he did. He's a man, just like we are. But it's interesting. He never struck a rock in anger like Moses did. He never committed adultery and murder like David did. He never lost his temper like Peter did. Joshua wasn't sinless, but it's interesting to me that there's no blot on his record as far as the Bible is concerned. And not only that, when Jesus came to this earth, what did he choose for his name? He took the name Jesus, which is the Greek version of the Hebrew name Joshua. What an honor that would be for Joshua to share the name of the coming Messiah. This morning, as we think about Joshua, I want us to be encouraged to follow his example. I know that all of us have our own struggles. We have our own disappointments. We have our own challenges. But when these things happen, when to us it seems like life may be falling apart, we can remember one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. After all, it's easy to have courage when we're together. It's easy to have courage when we're all assembled together in one place. But we're under a stay-at-home mandate. We can't assemble together physically. And that's our challenge today. We have trials. We have difficulties. But we have to remember, even if we feel lonely, we are not alone. God is with us. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. We can have courage and we can be strong. In spite of our challenges, whether it's the virus or any number of other things, in spite of our challenges, we can decide right now to meditate on the Word of God. We can decide right now to put those things into practice, to do it. And then we can finally, based on this passage in Joshua, we can face our challenges with confidence. Maybe there are some this morning who need to make some adjustments. Even as Christians, we maybe realize that we need to have more courage as we face challenges. Maybe we realize we need to have more courage when it comes to telling others about the gospel of Jesus Christ. But for those who haven't obeyed the gospel, the first step is to believe what you've read. Then you must make the decision to turn away from sin, that is, to repent, and then confess that we believe Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, and be immersed in water, to have our sins washed away. God already sent His Son as the perfect sacrifice, and we're responsible for responding to that sacrifice in faithful and humble obedience, doing whatever it takes to turn our lives back to God. And if you have any questions about what God requires, we'd love to talk with you. We'd love to study with you. But if you're ready to obey the gospel this morning, let us know. Call us, text us, email us. The baptistry, it is open and working. It's ready even this morning. We're going to sing a song in just a moment to give us an opportunity to reflect on our lives, to reflect on our relationship with God. And if you have a need, we want to hear from you. Let us know while we sing together. My only hope.